How is everybody doing? This is episode 29, a big special episode for our man, Michael Rippey, who is joining us today. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, Sniper. It's great to be here with you.
Dude, I love it. So I've been waiting for this episode. I think since episode like 10 or 11, you know, we talked about doing an episode and you were like, yeah, I'm totally down, but I want episode 29. And I was like, okay, like that's perfectly fine. It's 19 episodes from now or something like that, but yo, we can perfectly do that. So fast forward all this time, we're finally here and I got you on here. So we're going to talk a little bit about what you're doing in the space, when you kind of got into crypto, NFTs and stuff like that. So just to begin, I do want to highlight, you are a very talented speaker, I would say. I hear you on Spaces a lot. You've done things like Morning Squeeze. I hear you on other spaces where you're talking very informative. You're very intelligent. So just talk to us, what drew you in to Spaces? And we're going to talk about NFTs right after this, but I think Spaces and you just bringing people together is a big part of your presence in this community. So what has it been like for you to build these different communities with Spaces and the things that you've done?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Sniper. Thanks for finally having me. Just a note, being here on episode 29 of your podcast is exciting for me, and I appreciate it. I'm a big believer in energy, numbers, and connections. And so 29 to me is important. It signifies my birthday, February 9th. And so I thought, Sniper has this amazing podcast. I've got a lot of stuff coming down the road. It would be the perfect setup. So here we are today. You talk about all the stuff in the different spaces, from Morning Squeeze to other projects I've been associated with. To me, I think about community and I think about how we can all enhance each other's lives and try to do that on a day-to-day basis. And that's what I thought about when I thought about Web3, or you hear about the potential of it. I've always just tried to be a yes and type of individual in my life. And so when you think about how I got into crypto or when I started, I mean, I've been into blockchain technology and cryptocurrency since 2015, 2016. And then you fast forward to today where we have, you know, NFTs, the metaverse, and who knows what's next. But I'm always interested in the future during the present and trying to be ahead of the curve. And so with that, I just try to empower other people to do more and to educate the masses. And at the same time, I myself get educated from others. And so it's a mutual type of relationship that I try to foster.
I love that, man. So I know that whenever I hear you on these spaces, you're very well spoken. Do you have a past with doing interviews or talking on camera? Is this something that you're familiar with?
I am. And so just a little background for me. So I grew up in a household that my dad was a stockbroker, talked about finance, stocks, everything, whether I liked it or not, since I was a young kid. So went off to college, went to Syracuse, wasn't 100% sure what I really wanted to do, but studied business, did all the internships, worked on Wall Street, came out of school, spent 4 years doing business. And just because I thought that's what you did, I didn't know any other real options at the time. During that phase, I realized like I like finance, but I like it more personally, not professionally doing it necessarily for others. So I left the industry knowing that finance would always be there, moved to the West Coast in Los Angeles from New York. And from there, because maybe LA is entertainment capital of the world, I really got around, surrounded by people that were doing, you know, acting and media. And from there, I started doing media myself, and from podcasts to presentations, public speaking. So I've been in the media game now, I think, for probably close to a decade, doing live presentations. I represented all sorts of big consumer brands, mainly in the automotive sector, presenting their new vehicles at big shows, private events. And from there, talking about even sports, and other types of cool hobbies that I'd have via podcast. Because like I said at the top, I'm always interested in learning about others and then empowering others. And I always learn from asking questions. So I think something you do really well in your podcast is ask questions. I actually love doing the same thing in a sense, because from me, I learn by listening.
No, dude, I appreciate such kind words, especially from someone like you, who I do think is very well spoken. I mean, you're very intelligent. And whenever I hear you on Spaces, it's not just the casual shilling of projects or just some people like to have spaces and just have fun. It's very informative. And I can tell that your background has brought you up very well and put you in this position to succeed. So, I mean, let's talk about how you would then transition into NFTs. I've seen you do a lot of things in this space with NFTs, regardless of the project. Do you like the trading, or would you rather stay more on the speaking side of things, rather it be speaking for a project or hosting spaces or a possible podcast down the road? What do you like more in this space, or what would you like to see more of?
So I like investing in general. Whether it's NFTs, whether it's cryptocurrencies, whether it's the stock market, investing and investing over a longer period of time, probably because I'm not a great trader. Back in my days, I'd trade stocks when I was young in school. I've gambled on betting on sports, and I've never really come out ahead when I trade. But when I invest and I educate and I learn and I feel like I have a longer time horizon, I do much better. So from a principled standpoint, I've always just thought of myself as someone that tries to invest. And part of that investment when it comes to NFTs has been an ability and Web3 to not just invest maybe your hard-earned dollar, but also your time, and allowing that investment of your time to potentially affect that investment of your money. And so the way I look at it is I invest time, not necessarily to trade, because I'm just not good at the trading aspect. Not that you can't try to trade. Sometimes I'd always call myself long-term investor, a tactical trader. I think when it comes to the NFT space, I like the idea of showcasing projects, individuals, brands, and furthering the conversation so that the others that are better traders or even better investors can get the information.
I do like that. And we share the same vision and thoughts, because whenever it comes to me, I am a horrible trader. I don't care what it is. I just seem to buy it and it immediately goes down. So I don't know what's up with that, but I'm just horrible. I became someone who, like you said, I was much better finding myself with more success doing the long-term investments. And that would be because I would literally do tons of research. Of course, we always say do your own research. I would find myself looking into these people or investing in the people that I already knew. I wasn't given into the influencers. Like, I didn't know what they were feeding me. I didn't know them personally. Only thing I knew about them is they were already loaded. They were already successful. So once I started doing that research into my friends, investing into those people I trusted, and that's when I started seeing way more success, or what I deem success. And that's really how I feel the space is. Anytime I tried to do the quick trading, of course, I wouldn't know nothing about the project, wouldn't know the people, wouldn't know how long it's been around. So it would just ultimately wreck me. So I feel you on that. Now I'm the guy that just buys something and sits on it for 5 years and hope it don't go to zero. It hasn't been that good for me, but we'll see. So now that you've been in the space a little bit, what is your, because you've been around for damn near a year, if not more, I would say, correct? NFTs. I know you've been in crypto and blockchain, but
well, you know, it's funny you say that. I've actually, my first NFT, and I don't actually consider it an NFT, but would be the Top Shots. You know, I was actually buying NBA Top Shots when you didn't have to queue up and you could just buy them, because I'm a sports fan. And I remembered having all this time and being able to buy digital cards on the internet when it was, you know, you got three cards for $9. At the time, my girlfriend, Samantha, was thinking I was crazy. I was probably thinking I was crazy, but I was bored. I had time. We were all locked up. This was late fall of 2020. And I was buying them. Fast forward a few months, I've been running Investorly, a company I created, and a newsletter. And so I'm always trying to find out what's going, you know, on topically information wise. And we came across the $69 million sale from Beeple. So I was diving into that. And from there, I bought Mooncats, which was in March. They got rescued. And that was my first foray into NFTs. I wasn't so public about NFTs until much later. And mainly because a lot of times I like to enter spaces and learn and just watch and observe before I kind of come and try to provide information or even, you know, come from a place of trying to help others, because I got to help understand things myself before I think I can really do any justice to others. So I've been in, you know, crypto for a while, obviously, but NFT specifically, I mean, you know, as far back as the start of 2021, which is now, I don't know, 18 plus months, which is wild.
Okay, so I was totally unaware that you were dabbling in Top Shot, and I do remember those days. I was in Top Shot. I was able, everyone's heard the story. I've ran it up a really good amount, probably got six digits, and then ran it back down to easily three digits. So that was fun. I think everyone that was dabbling in NFTs before the profile pictures definitely have that Top Shot era. If you've been around, a lot of people on the podcast, like the first 10 episodes, I think everyone started it off with, yeah, well, I was in Top Shot. And then of course the same story goes, and then it wrecked, so on and so forth. But I never knew that you were in Top Shot. So you've been around just as long as I have. And that's crazy. So it'll even do the question more justice. Right now, we have seen arguably the worst bear market for NFTs we've ever seen. Some feel it'll bounce back, some feel it won't. As someone who has been around for as long as you have, rather it be crypto, including stocks, things of that nature, your father being in that field with stocks, how do you feel about the market right now? And of course, this is just us talking. This is not no financial advice for anyone listening. This is just my curious thought on what you think the market is doing. Are you scared personally, or are you just hanging in for the ride because you know that you're a long-term investor and not really a person day trading?
Fair. These are great questions, by the way. So again, not financial advice. I would say a couple of things. One, this is a brutal bear market, and I don't even think we're close to it being over. There's a lot of global uncertainty. We have a real life war going on. Hopefully that can end sooner than later. Peace can be resolved. And furthermore, you know, I think that's contributing to also economically just all markets being down. With that being said, I am not scared, because these are just cycles in general. And also in investing, I think the most important part is capital preservation and understanding your downside risk reward. So every market that I enter, NFTs as well, is I enter with a, you know, understanding that you could lose everything that you've put in, but also having some ideas in place to kind of make sure that you're not too exposed or overexposed for moments like this. So, you know, I think I'm not going to ride everything to zero per se, because I think a lot of the investments I've made over a longer time horizon should do fairly well. But simultaneously, I've also been able to take enough off the table prior to this early on that it's okay whatever happens. And one of the things specifically in the NFT market, because it's a, you know, a new market, it just came about, let's say 18 months, 2 years now, that I've done is I created an entire basically portfolio when it comes to NFTs from the ground up, which really I had no money in NFTs. You know, you were a cool cat guy, got lucky with some cool cats early on. And so having a number of cool cats at the start, getting rid of a few on the way up, allowed me to position myself that no matter what happens with not just Cool Cats, but any of the projects, I'm pretty much okay. I always had this philosophy with the NFTs is try to buy two of whatever it is and try to get rid of one of that NFT once you are in the green. And then therefore your leftover NFT of that project, no matter what, you're kind of good. So I've done that with a number of the investments, and therefore that philosophy allows me to not stress. Doesn't mean everything will come back, but I do think a lot of the projects that are actually building will have some semblance of a return to being spotlighted, highlighted, or in a better position once this market is reverses. But that's not going to be anytime soon.
I honestly feel the same way. I don't feel NFTs are anywhere near done, but that goes the same for the bear market. I don't feel we are done. I do feel these in real life events will probably boost confidence and it will help a lot of people out. But a lot of these projects that are going to these in real life events, they are the ones that are actually building or attempting to actually build. And anyone that is building right now, I hate saying the word building because of Vagabond and his adventure, but anyone that is building something right now and truly building, it will definitely show a year from now, 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, if they're building something that's concrete. A couple other things that you talked about was, I do think a lot of people fail to realize or sit back and look at the bigger picture. NFTs in this community go at lightning speed. Things happen. It feels like a year and a day. Like, it's so quick. And people fail to either step outside or just take a breath and look at the bigger picture, as in all markets are down. I mean, it's the housing bubble. I mean, you do have, unfortunately, a war going on that I can't imagine being in. So there's so many things going on. It's not just NFTs. And, you know, there are more things than NFTs. You know, you can step outside, go enjoy some time. But I definitely think people should have duality. That's why I did the podcast. No, I'm not someone making thousands of dollars off the podcast, but whenever I want to take a break from NFTs, I can go do this, still be focused on NFTs and not really get away, but I don't have to worry about what the floor is on my podcast. There's no floor. I don't have to worry about other holders getting utility out of the podcast. I don't have to worry about none of that. I come here, I talk with great people, I push it out to the crowd, and then they decide if they want to listen or not. And that's whenever I was like, you know, trading NFTs is fun, investing is fun, but I want to do more beyond that. I want to make another lane for myself. So I love that you said that. And the last thing to touch on is, I like how you said that you wouldn't ride it to zero, but you do feel confident in the investments that you have. I love that, because that's like myself. There's a lot of FUD behind Cool Cats. I had Cool Cats at 0.5, 17 ETH, and I have them still at 3 ETH. It's literally my brand and who I am, but that's because I believe in that investment. I believe in the team. And, you know, there's at certain times I do have multiple, like Michael said, if you can afford to get more than one, I would definitely do so when investing, because you never have to worry about selling that last one. And that's where I met with the Cool Cats. I still have another one, and I've sold other ones. And that's because, you know, you have to be realistic. I don't want to come out of my full adventure over 2 years being strictly Web3. I don't want to come out of this and be like, wow, I have nothing to show for it. I would love to have at least a car, something for my girlfriend and my mother and my family. So I think them are great points. I wanted to also go back and ask you, as someone who has been in multiple fields, like we said, stocks, all that stuff, what is something that you feel is important to the creators in this space that people might not understand? Or what is something that I guess you've brought from your past endeavors and can share with us to maybe, I don't want to say make us feel better, but just like as a word of encouragement for the creators out there that are trying to do stuff like create spaces or do a podcast.
So I think,
go ahead.
Yeah. I think there's two things in general. And look, at the end of the day, I think most people are creators of some sort, right? And no matter what, we're all creating different things. Everybody at a human level is creating their future. Creating their present, whether it's creating their evening, like literally we have to create every day of our lives what we're doing for that day, whether it's doing a lot or doing nothing. So at the core of us, I think we're all creators of some level. But I would say there's two things mainly that I always think about. And that's one, education; two, responsibility. One being education that, you know, important, I think, in any space, but especially someone, a space like the Web3 space where the potential is unlimited, and you're also building and creating a brand new opportunity that, you know, the world really hasn't seen. And it could take a long time, but the education component is so important, to not just for yourself as a creator, but for the people that want to create with you, build with you, invest with you, because over a long term, that's going to be important to keeping people together, people understanding what they're getting involved in. And then secondarily, responsibility. I think that there is a responsibility for people that are going to be, you know, out there to somewhat consider who is going to be riding with them, investing with them, just understanding that responsibility. I'm not saying that as a creator, you are responsible for your investors' decisions, because obviously that doesn't make any sense. But there is a responsibility on some level to not try to take advantage of people, to not do malicious or disingenuous things to benefit yourself. Because I think in the short term, you know, you see a lot of benefits by doing that. But in the long term, you really wreck yourself, other people, you know, and potentially it can go deeper than that. And I just think that in this space, there's a lack of education right now, or a lack of even concern around education. And that has caused, I think, some of the part of the bear market to look even worse, because these things are coming to light. And with that, I hope that anybody listening to this or in the future will think about education and responsibly and take and responsibility and just take a little bit from either of those aspects and put it into their daily basis. Because I mean, if each of us, you, me, and everybody else just did 1% more around education and responsibility, look at how much brighter the future would be, the greater good for all of us on a long-term thought process. And to me, the whole point of Web3, when it was first kind of sold to us or sold, was this idea of decentralization. And to me, that's what it's all about, decentralization, being able to, on a one-to-one level, take a little bit more control of our future as opposed to having to put it in someone else's hands.
No, that's a really good point. And not only that, I think there's a lot of, nobody specific, but there's a lot of people who are following others. They don't care to do their own research, because you have things like alpha groups and you have the verification check, things that could give a faulty image to those that are new in the space. So I do encourage a lot of people to get the education. It don't take a lot to, you can Google NFTs, click on the news and read up on some things that are happening in the space. Jump in the spaces. You don't always have to jump on stage and talk, but if you have questions, jump up there and ask some questions. There's never a stupid question. Education in the space is one of the biggest things. And the sole reason why I created the podcast was not only to, I told myself, how do I learn about all of these different people in the space and also help other people learn as well? And some of the greatest compliments that I can receive is like, oh, those are really good questions. And I feel like they're questions not only I have, but the listeners and others have in general. So that is a big reason why I created the podcast. And that's to just get general information out there that isn't shilling 24/7, or just, hey, my project is this, comes out on this day, this is what you expect. Like, we're trying to learn about the people in our space, learn what's going on. And if they did create a project, why did they create that project, and so on and so forth. But we're talking about building, we're talking about creators. What are you building right now, if you can speak on anything? I'm very curious on if you have any projects, if you have any spaces, podcast articles. Is there anything that Michael Rippey is working on currently?
Yeah, I'm working on a lot of stuff. I've been working on a lot of stuff in private. I'm always trying to do more, always trying to challenge myself. So right off the top, you know, I built Investorly, which is my own brand, for now 2+ years. And Investorly essentially means to invest early in yourself. That's the name, Investorly. And it's meant to basically empower others with opportunity financially and education. And so I work on that regularly. And for that, we share the ethos and we share kind of strategy with brands in Web3. And then with individuals, we share the opportunities and information. And so from that, there's a lot of Web3 consulting, advisory, strategy. So that's in its own right, a lot of work that we do. There we have obviously a podcast, a conversation with, where we talk to a lot of different individuals in the space, a lot of similarities to your podcast right here. And then simultaneously write some newsletters and work on some other stuff at Investorly. That's kind of a hub. Through that, I'm working with a few projects as well. You know, we host the Morning Squeeze still, and I say we because It's not just myself, but obviously I have co-hosts in FMC, Free Market Capitalists, and Shadow Chasers, and then a whole group of, Lemon friends and other friends that come in and hang out. And that's a regular thing in partnership with the Little Lemon Friends. Separately to that, one of the reasons I was excited to push this episode taping out a little bit was because I'm working with a really cool opportunity and project trying to create the first fully decentralized fitness club. And it's called Decentra Gym. And Decentra Gym aims to launch later this year with the idea of working out to earn. So you've heard of Move to Earn through Step In. You've heard of all sorts of ways that you can earn, right? Play to earn. And now we're looking at Workout to Earn, where you can earn gains and the gains token. So that should be a fascinating launch as we get closer. And that's something really important to me because I'm always trying to work with projects and teams that have similar vision. And I'm a very big believer in not just your mental health, but your physical health and taking care of yourself, because it doesn't matter how much wealth you have if you don't have good health, right? So good health and great wealth go hand in hand. And so you can take care of your health by being physically fit and going to the gym, going outside for a run, getting out there. And so I'm really into physical fitness. And so Decentra Gym is primary right now that I'm working on our strategy as we come to market. And so you guys can check out Decentra Gym all over social on the website to learn more. It's a fascinating idea. I don't want to give too much away yet, but that, and then working with some other projects, which, you'll see me around this space as I'm always around doing something. That's what we work on from Investorly with some partners.
Okay. So I have a speech impediment, so I have to say it slow. So Decentra Gym sounds very interesting, bro. I've been hearing a lot of people think of some great ways to earn. And like you just said, workout to earn. I have not heard of that one yet. I've heard of the other ones that we know of. I just recently heard from a friend named Leap that they are doing like a listen to earn and a watch to earn. So that will be interesting. But dude, I love that you're always trying to push the space. I mean, it sounds like since you've been doing, regardless of what it was, early in your days, you've always tried to go to the next step, always tried to help others and bring people in to the visions that you believe. So that's a beautiful thing. And every podcast, I do 5 questions. But before jumping over to those, I want to ask you one more thing, since you did mention Decentra Gym. If there's anything that I'm missing, I want you to let me know. So what is this podcast, and what do you want the listeners to know about Michael Rippey? What do you want us to know about you going forward in the space, who you are, and what you've done just in the NFT community as of now? Because you've done a lot of great things for a lot of great people. So what does all of this mean to you? And just what do you want to tell us?
Yeah, sure. No, I it's simple. I just want to tell you and listeners that I'm here. I like working with dedicated, ambitious, driven individuals. It doesn't matter where you are in your career. It doesn't matter where you are geographically. That's one of the beauties of Web3. You can connect globally with individuals. I like to surround myself with people that are smarter than me and people that are ambitious just like me. And when you can do that, the power of a community, the power of a team is so much greater than the power of I. I've learned that firsthand. You know, trying to do stuff alone, it can be fun, but it can be extremely taxing. And no matter how smart, no matter how good, no matter how great you can be by yourself, when you can magnify that and times that by 2, 5, 10 people, you can really put powerful ideas to paper, concepts to work, and make significant progress. So I'm here. I love connecting. I'm a very curious person. I like to listen to others. I like to observe others. I like to learn from people. I like to have critical thought. I think there's nuance that goes completely glossed over, especially on a social media aspect. There's a lot of people out there that are not very interested in the thought process of building and what goes into it, or even having necessarily, let's say, a disagreement or a conversation around why something can be A, B, and C. And so to me, I'm just looking to meet as many people as I can on a daily basis that are driven, hustle, ambitious, because that's the way I learn, right? There's no way that anybody can tell me that we can stop learning, no matter your age, no matter if you graduated from this school, we're always learning. And I'm always learning and curious to learn more. And I love surrounding myself with people that have that same vision and goal. And that's really as simple as it gets.
No, I like that. And I like that you reassured people that it don't matter where you're at in your career. And I want to jump on that and say, Michael is someone who, it don't matter if you have 100,000 followers. It don't matter if, you know, you're someone that's up and coming. Michael is totally down to bust his ass and work. It's lovely to see that he's very open to discussing things with people. Like I said, you don't have to be some big wig, some suit in order to talk to Michael, regardless what he's done in his past. He's here to push forward what he believes in. And if you have the same vision as him, I highly encourage you to reach out to him, speak with him, learn from him, jump into spaces, see what he has going on. I definitely feel a lot of the listeners can just gravitate to that, gravitate towards you and just get that knowledge that you offer to people. Rather it is, you know, the tweets, the spaces, articles from Investorly, anything. So yes, I definitely encourage the listeners to jump out, grab Michael Rippey, be like, yo, man, this is what I believe in. Or just tell him thank you just for what he does in the space. You know, I'm a big fan of showing love to other people, telling people thank you, checking up on people. So please, I encourage everyone to do that. But Michael, jumping into the five questions, some of these are going to be hard. Some of these may be easy. You know, I don't know which ones you've heard. So just to start it off, I want to ask, and this one's a little hard, what is the most important thing to you in your life?
The most important thing to me in my life, that's a great question. The most important thing in my life is family. And family means people close to me. That's what it means. To me, family is everything, and friends can be family. I consider my friends that are there with me every day my family. You know, it's so powerful. The interactions and the idea of, you know, us as humans, as animals, as creatures, as people, connecting, as you get older, you go through life and experiences, everyone is on their own path. Everyone is on their own journey. You never know where someone is in their journey, but we all have a lot of similarities in our journeys and we go through ups and downs. And so to me, because I've had significant life moments, like losing my mom, that put a whole new perspective on like life and understanding that you never know what's going to happen tomorrow, that every day is a new opportunity and a new day to seize. And so family to me encompasses my life. And so, like I said, friends are my family, plus my family, which is smaller as I'm an only child, down a parent. You know, I always just look to family as the most important thing, because those are the people that are there with you. Those are the people that care about you. Those are the people that you want to spend your time with and enjoy whatever time you have left.
That's a beautiful answer, brother. And I like that 99% of people say family. And I knew making that question that it would be family. But just to be able to hear people get out that genuineness, no matter who it is that comes on the podcast, you get that look at, you know, that is a real person. And that's why I encourage people to, you know, you don't have to be a dick on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? If you don't agree with someone, that's fine. You know, we've all heard, if you ain't got nothing nice to say it, then don't say it at all. But the main reason why I push that is because you never know what's going on behind closed doors. You never know what someone's dealing with unless you know them personally. And even then, of course, you wouldn't attack them personally unless you dislike them. So I encourage everyone. Go ahead.
Let me just jump in on that, because I think I've seen this a lot, especially over the last few months, and I think people act so differently. They do in, let's say, the Web3 space, or on, you know, behind a keyboard, or on a phone touching buttons, as they would in person. I think at the end of the day, 95% of the interactions that are I see on Twitter or social would not be the same in person. Most people, I believe, have genuine intentions and are good people. And if you were in person, wouldn't act the same way. And I just hope that thinking about this on a social level, it may get you more likes, it may get you more followers to act a certain way. But I think also thinking about how you would act with someone if you met them in person and thinking of those interactions is so important when dealing with social aspects.
I think you make a great point. And I also want to say, I've been saying this very frequently on spaces. There is a big difference between being professional, knowing how to carry yourself and play the field versus being two-faced. Those are two different things. Whenever I go to a spaces and I joke around as me. I don't go out of pocket. I don't hide myself. What you get is what you get. If I go into somewhere that is professional and we're talking projects, I'm gonna straighten up my act and talk like knowledgeable as if I know something that's going on. So, but there's a lot difference in being one way to someone and then revealing who you really are, which is a different person. So I do think that there is a big difference between, like I said, being two-faced, being two separately different people, not being the real you, which is who I encourage everyone to be. I don't care if you think you're weird, you're a nerd. I don't care about none of that. You're a good person. You're a good person. I'm down to rock with everybody. And that's how I was in high school. You know, I didn't care if you played the tuba. I didn't care if you shot basketball. You were the lead cheerleader. Didn't care about none of that. If you were cool to me, I was cool to you. And that's how it should be. I'm always down to show love, especially those that reciprocate that energy and always try to push what they believe in. And before I go in to the next question, Michael, man to man, I know your mother is proud of you. You've done a lot of successful things. And I just want to let you know, I know your mother's proud of you and she's looking down smiling.
I really appreciate that. And I want everyone to know, if they come and follow me, let's say on Twitter at Michael Rippey, you'll see in my bio, it's a thing I wear on my wrist every day. My mom had a saying, it was today I can do anything. And it's something that everybody can kind of believe in or think about, no matter who they are, where you are, you know, today you can do anything. You can put your heart to it and at least strive for it. My mom always told me that. And that's how I live day to day. So no, I appreciate that, Snyder.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. And that's a beautiful thing to go by and never forget it. Shit, if you don't have it tattooed on you, get it tattooed on you one day if you can, because I think that's so lovely. But yeah, man, I know she's proud of you, brother. I know she's proud of you. Number two on our questions would be, what is an obstacle that you have overcome that has helped you get to where you are today? And this can be personal life. This can be crypto, stocks, NFTs, don't matter. But it's just a general question. You can answer it any way that you'd like.
Being more emotional, being in touch with them. You know, I think when I was younger, I wasn't as open with how I was really feeling with the world. And I think as, you know, I think this probably goes for everybody as they age. You know, you go through more life experiences, more, you get more wisdom, you experience more things, and you start to realize that life is short, and try to cherish every day. And so one of those obstacles that I really struggled with was being a lot more open with other people about what was going on in my day-to-day internally. And I've done a much better job, partially forced into it, but facing the reality of not trying to act like you're something on one level while inside maybe you're feeling completely different, but just really showcasing who you are inside and out. Because not only does that, you know, help you be who you are, but it helps you internally deal with it, right? Like, it's easy to try to cover up stuff inside, but that stuff builds and builds. It's like a boiling pot of water, and eventually it overboils and it all floods out. And so that is something that I have made a significant change on over a long period of time, and just working on myself and understanding, like, really that working on yourself takes work, but you know, it's something that will end up really helping you, and it's really helped me.
No, I mean, it sounds like to me, man, that you have been very successful while working on yourself, because from what I see, and you might have a long way to go, but even if you do, we still wish you the best, and I know you're going to get there, because even being able to come on a podcast and you could have shared the story 40 times, but to even continually share the story of you and your mother, or to even bring it up if it was the first time, that takes a very strong individual, man, woman, human, to admit what has gone on in their life, their previous things. And that's, you know, a death isn't easy to just talk about. So I do respect you, and I know that you're working. So, I mean, that's a huge thing to be able to admit, like, yo, I'm working on myself. I don't care who it is. You know, for me, I was always someone who thought like therapy was something that, like, you know, not everybody needed. No, I don't think everybody needs it, but hey, I needed it. And I had to come to terms with it that, you know, yo, I needed that stuff, and it helped my life out so damn much. So just to be honest with myself and admit that, I felt great. So to hear, you know, you just be open about who you are as Michael, the things that you've went through, that right there shows a lot about you. And, you know, you're not hiding nothing. So I have nothing but respect for you to come onto a podcast and share some of your open life stories and get on more of an emotional side with what you've been saying. So I can't thank you enough for that. But yeah, bro, I mean, you're amazing on it. So this one might like change the mood a little bit, but when you leave the house to go out, and I'm going to say more or less to a function, party, going out for the night, what are at least three necessities that you have to bring with you and try to exclude, like keys or a phone or a wallet? Is there anything else? Maybe a water bottle, a camera, might keep a little pocket knife on you. Is there anything that Michael takes with him?
All right, let's say three things. One, my fiance, Samantha.
Okay.
Gotta take her. Because if I'm rolling to the party without her, I am gonna like lose it. She's not gonna be cool with that. If I'm going to the party without her, she's gonna say, why didn't you bring me? And I should bring her. So that's the best thing I could have with me. Second, I'm definitely bringing my phone. So that I can get home at night, whether it's from the Uber or the Lyft, or so I could tweet something out and take those photos that I need. No pocket knives. I don't have that, but maybe if I was camping. And then third, I'm not gonna lie, I think I bring my like Beats. I bring one earphone. So it's like one of the Beats that goes in your ear, just the right one. This way, when I'm in either the Uber or if I'm taking the subway, like I'm in New York or something, that those 30, 40 minutes, I could be either listening to something, whether it's a space or a podcast or music, while I'm passing the time. So those are the three things that I'm definitely bringing with me.
I'll tell you what, you can now say after this episode airs Monday, you can tell people you are the reason why the third question got changed to when you leave to go camping, what are three necessities that you have to bring? Because whenever you said camping, I was like, damn, that would be such a sick question to see what everyone would bring camping. So from now on, Michael, after you, yep, you are the last person to officially answer what three necessities do you take when leaving the house. From now on, it's camping.
I appreciate that. I just got to throw one more thing in because this is off the top and I didn't remember. The other thing I'm definitely bringing, and I'm probably bringing multiple because I have an addiction, is chapstick. I always have chapstick on me and I always end up having like more than one. So I'll check my right pocket of chapstick, check my left pocket of chapstick, because has anybody ever finished an actual chapstick? No, because you usually lose them. And so you're always looking for another one. And I end up finding myself having multiple chapsticks on me all the time.
You know what? We can use chapstick instead of phone, because I feel like phone will go as like something that you always bring, wallet, keys. So yes, we will use the chapstick instead of the phone. And you're absolutely right. I've never once in my life finished a chapstick, and I never met someone or met someone that knows of someone that has finished their chapstick. You always have that one friend that's like, oh yeah, I know a guy. Not when it comes to chapstick. I have nobody that knows a guy that knows a guy that has finished some chapstick. None of that. So exactly. You actually make a very great point. So the next question is, and it might be finishing some chapstick, what is one thing that you want to do before you get too old?
One thing that I would love to do before I get too old.
And it can be multiple if you would like. But
yeah.
Which one main one?
I would like to hike Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu.
Yep.
I did not think that would ever be an answer on this podcast, but I should have expected it from someone like you. That is an interesting and intriguing answer. Can I ask why?
Yeah. So I love adventure and experiences. Like, I'm always an experiences or adventure over possession type of person. And I also love hiking. And I've gotten more into hiking as I've been on the West Coast for longer. So I've hiked all over the West Coast, which is super fun. And thinking about that kind of camping aspect, I've always heard Machu Picchu is like this incredible place. And so if I could hike there, you know, because I think it's something that actually could be achieved. It's not like me saying I want to hike, you know, these crazy mountains that I don't necessarily know that I could do and survive. But Machu Picchu is something that realistically, I think I could do. I probably don't want to do it, but when I'm a grandpa. And so that is definitely something I have not done yet that I still want to do.
You know, honestly, I might have to look into doing that, because I'm not going to say that if you could do it, I could do it. But maybe but maybe if it's more achievable for you, maybe that's like top tier for me. And I would be like, you know, maybe that's like more my Mount Everest.
No, you could definitely, exactly. I'm not going to say I'm going to hike Mount Everest.
Exactly.
Because that's ridiculous. But like Machu Picchu, I think it's like a realistic thing for most anybody listening to this. If you put your mind to it, like, you could definitely do it. You got to be in a little bit of shape and maybe just make sure you have like the stamina, but it's definitely feasible. Plus it's Machu Picchu. It's like, you know, it's like this like place in Peru that everybody talks about. And I've heard other people that have gone and said, it's just incredible. So,
I mean, absolutely beautiful place. And that actually sounds like something that I would probably put on my list of things to do. So that's why I have this question, because I've always wanted to know like what each part, you never know. Someone might say, go to Kentucky. I doubt that I'll ever hear that answer. But for the odd reason on the 10,000th episode that one random person says, go to Kentucky. I'll be able to make that happen. but yeah, man, maybe I'll see you at Machu Picchu, or we could go hike it together. This last question is going to be interesting, because I know you're an investor, and these aren't necessarily going to be short plays. So, and we're in a bear market. So whenever I made this question, we weren't really in the predicament we're in. So if I gave you 200 ether, and it had to be spent on NFTs only, no holding, no, maybe later, right now, what are some big purchases, plays, investments that you would make?
Right now, if I had 200 ETH and I had to put it to work?
You had to put it to work, no holding. And I mean, you could spend all of it, but like 0.1, you know what I'm saying? You have to spend majority, 99% on NFTs. What are some investments you're making?
Well, I'd have to go the secure route to start and just take half of it and go buy an ETH.
Okay.
Right. I think. If the NFT space is going to survive in a long term, that Yuga and what they've built with the apes is going to have to be at the forefront of that. And obviously more of the punks. So I'd probably say I'd buy a crypto punk. That's where I'd buy a crypto punk. I'd buy a Bored Ape. That probably gets me to about 150 ETH right there.
I had you at 130, 150.
I was going to say 140, but I even rounded on 150. With the other 50 ETH, I'd probably put, I'd buy, you know, 10 cool cats. So that gets me 30 ETH right there. So let's say we have about 20 ETH. And then I take that 20 ETH and I just sprinkle it around on some artists. And I'd buy a few little generative pieces, and I'd, you know, buy some art blocks. I'd buy, you know, some one of ones that are low priced. And then, you know, I guess take 10 ETH. And buy some of these small projects that, you know, are out there, whether it's Lemons, Wonder Pals, you know, just this really low end stuff that is super, you know, affordable right now, but could potentially go way up.
Whoa, bro, you're not going to spend 200 ETH on all goblins?
I'm not, man. I'm just going to go and sit in the spaces and just listen to the noises like it's Halloween. That's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to be honest. And I'll say it on any space podcast. I'll say it on national television. I don't understand it. like to a sense, like I get what they're doing over there, but I'm 25 years old. I'm damn near a grown ass man. I cannot sit on spaces with 100 other grown men and women and just moan and groan and make this weird noise. I had a friend named Scott, who is a professor over at Harvard, had his tenure at Harvard. He'll be on the podcast soon, but I tried to ask him because I saw him in the spaces. I was like, so what does like someone from Harvard think of the goblins? And he was like, oh, it reminds me a lot of the Harvard Lampoon. He said that as if I knew what that was. And then proceeded to tell me, I have no clue. So I don't know what's going on over there. They're doing a really good job. I think just the other day, like 10 out of the five out of the 10 projects on the trending charts were all goblin related. So whatever they're doing, I mean, hey, it's working for them. But I was just curious, man. I didn't know if you were going to go on a goblin spree and maybe spend a good 100 ETH on goblins or something.
I am not, but maybe I'll miss the goblin traits. I guess I'll have to live with myself. You know, listen, you don't lose money by not investing it. So also if you miss something, there's always another thing. And goblins are a perfect example of that though, right? If you've been sitting around for the last year thinking you missed everything and you had your money ready and you knew or saw the goblins and you put it to work, then maybe there you could be a good trader. But as we talked about earlier, I'm not great at the trading and I oftentimes miss a lot of the stuff because I also do spend time outside of Web3, which means I miss a lot of the space and the way it moves.
Unfortunately, I do too. I am one of those people that go outside to the great outdoors and spend some of my time there. So I do miss some of the other things, and that's okay. That's why I'm not a good trader as well, because I don't like to spend time, all my time in front of the computer. But no, I think you made great points. I mean, even with the goblins, I mean, that was a great chance for people who really thought that everything was over. It was like, hey, here's some money for you. Or even I know someone who needed the money for NYC and they were able to get that. So big shout out to, you know, stuff like that. But you know, we're at the end of the podcast, Michael. We damn near been going for an hour. I just want to say big, big thank you for you to coming on. I know you're getting a haircut and a little bit, getting sharp, spiffy and cute for us. I hope to see you in New York. If you're not going there, I hope to see you soon. Whether it's Machu Picchu, getting some breakfast, it don't matter. We're going to see each other again. But yeah, I'm so thankful that you came on here. I know that you are a very busy person. So to give me some of your time means the absolute world to me, and to give the listeners some knowledge from the man himself, who's been doing this for a little bit, meant a lot to me. So once again, thank you so much for sharing your stories. I can't reiterate to you enough that I totally believe that your mother's proud of you and everything that you've achieved and that you're doing. So for the fifth time, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Is there anything that you want to leave the listeners with before we sign off?
Yeah, just appreciate you so much, Sniper, for what you're doing. Keep it up, man. It's I listen to the podcast regularly. I love learning from it. You ask great questions. You got a bright future ahead. And I would just say to tie it all together is I've always followed this one ethos. Don't be afraid to fail. Be afraid to not try. So thanks for having me. And I can't wait to see you next time.
Thank you, brother. Stick around and I'll talk to you for a second. Everyone listening in, I can't thank you enough. I've really been enjoying the podcast. And honestly, everyone that comes on here and everyone listening truly makes it possible. You know, I started half a year ago officially, and I've reached over 65 cities, or it's like 700 cities and so many other countries, like 60 countries or some weird stuff like that. I probably sound stupid just rambling off random numbers, but the whole point of it is to say a big thank you to everyone listening, regardless what state, city, continent you're in on. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. This has been something that I've made from the bottom of my basement with the horrible Wi-Fi and low income, and none of that matters to any of y'all. Y'all all tune in. Y'all all make this possible for me to continue to do every week. So I will be seeing you all every Monday for a long time. Once again, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening in. You'll see me next Monday. We'll be speaking with Brian Brinkman from SNL and the Late Night Show, 2-time Emmy winner. So that'll be a great episode. But everyone have a great day. I love you all. And peace out.